Or advanced computational science.
Oh, computational geometry. I see. Well, yeah. The applied optical part.
Right. Gotcha.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I've already started to dress up for the cold weather. It's coming up.
What cold weather? In Miami?
I'm going to New York.
Oh!
You have to get yourself cool while you're there, and then dress up when you come.
Yeah. When I was heading out yesterday, it was like 20 degrees outside.
You mean Celsius, right?
No,
you mean in Chicago?
In Chicago, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was going to the airport.
Don't scare me already.
So, prepare.
I mean, I'm in Washington, and we're below freezing. So, I think the whole country, other than maybe you guys.
Up north. We're doing pretty well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You'd probably move if you weren't.
Probably yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to budge.
You can't really go much further south though in the country.
That's about it. I could go to Hawaii, and I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. I really sometimes wondered if I should have gone there for my PhD instead of Michigan.
If you want a good weather, you should go to a Caribbean country like Colombia or something like that.
Or you could go to Hawaii.
It's nice. Oh, but Hawaii has like hurricanes and stuff like that, right?
No hurricanes.
Or
it's
storms or tsunamis. No, nothing like that. Nothing strange.
Nothing strange.
Volcano? I don't know. There's something there.
They're the dormant volcanoes. Yeah. I mean, not dormant, inactive, I would think.
I see. It's great. Hawaii. You're still in the U.S.
The only thing is that gas is really expensive on here.
Gas? Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So you need to buy a bicycle. The first thing you go there, you buy a bicycle.
On a side note, it's funny, family that I know here for a long time up in Washington State, when the kids were really young, the family moved to Hawaii and they spent about 12 years there.
Oh, wow.
And they come back, and oh, I tell you, the amount of whining they did about living in Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Oh, they whine continuously about, because they're isolated in the middle of nowhere, and they don't get to travel all that much. Oh, it was one thing after another, and I was always like, you kids are nuts. But, when you're a kid, I think you want not big city, but, you want to have more access to the city and, different things that come with being a city, right? Where they were on Maui and there's just not a lot of, big museums or kid things to do, other than go to the beach every day.
Yeah.
I guess wasn't their thing. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting as well.
Yeah.
I guess very poor in general, so that was also part of it.
Yeah, in terms of weather, for me, Hawaii would be the only upgrade in the U.S. relative to Miami. And maybe some parts of Southern California would be equivalent.
So
that's about it.
But they have earthquakes, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, earthquakes are...
What about Arizona? Do you need the ocean?
Arizona is... I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought, but I should probably think about it that too.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you would then say Las Vegas, right? That's another place. Okay, so should we get started?
Yes.
And Ricardo was complaining about something.
I'm not complaining. I was just saying that I fix a bunch of things and I'm running the experiments right now, but I was having issues with the code and I couldn't figure out what was happening, and it was something about SSH connections and stuff like that. So basically, I We were having some these strange bugs and some stuff that was happening also last week that Vasily and I figured out on Wednesday when we met. And I figured out that there is no such problem. The problem is that sometimes network, the network cards get a little bit, you know, dirty.
At your end or at the
servers? At the servers.
They get heated up or
no? I don't know if there's some garbage there or something that's happening. And then when you reboot the computer, that stops giving the problems. And then after some time, it will start again.
Is that running an experimental kernel or something like that? Is that machine running an experimental kernel?
No. These machines are running Red Hat Enterprise something.
Yeah.
So they should work fine, but every once in a while they start giving some issues. And I was, you know, like crazy trying to figure out what was it. And then.
So your solution right now is just reboot?
Yeah, just reboot every once in a while. And it seems to be working.
But, as long as it can generate the plots we are looking for, I guess it's fine.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it's running. I left it running, but, you know, took me some time. And just the flight basically took almost all day for me. I got home like at 3, 4 p.m. and I woke up like 5 a.m. in the morning just to get to catch the flight. So I lost basically all day doing that.
Mm-hmm. So what do we have then? I mean, for this week.
No, for this week I don't have the results yet, but I'll try to have by next week. I'm gonna make an effort just before the break to have all the graphs that we need for single node experiments and distributed experiments as well, so we can have like the whole set of stuff that we need.
Hmm.
At least before the break.
All right. So, Ricardo, I got an email from you earlier that, you know, if you want to meet with me, so if you still want to meet, let me know.
Yes, of course.
I don't know if you got my reply. I replied you, so, yeah.
Okay. Let's try to do this this afternoon because I yesterday was kind of crazy.
Yeah, before I forget about this all over again, I also wanted to check what's going on with your contract for next semester?
I still don't have an answer. So I'm waiting for
Friday. I think from our end, I think we looked into it and it was going to be too difficult to.
Okay.
Re-extend for next year. So, we wanted to talk about that in this meeting. So, I apologize if I hope this doesn't cause any, you know, inconvenience or whatever. But, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to continue. So, actually, I just really wanted to talk a little bit about how we could plan the workout.
Yes.
But I think that, this will be the end of this month. It'll end.
Okay.
Which means then the fallout, unfortunately, is that this means that then Ricardo wouldn't be able to access the machines anymore.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to send your laptop back as well, and we can work that out later. But,
okay.
No rush on that. Do that in January sometime.
Okay.
So unfortunately, we couldn't continue that, but. Vasily, I guess this does this cause a problem, or is this okay? I mean, I could fight harder within the department, but...
No, I mean, at my end, I just need to know if it's one way or the other so that I can set it up correctly at our end.
Right, okay.
That's all I needed to know. I mean, of course, it's less than ideal because Ricardo will lose access to the machines there which he's using currently, but... you know, I can understand the constraints that you might have at your end, and it's perfectly okay with me. I mean,
right? The only thing, I mean, if I don't know if budgeting or something like that is a problem, then maybe isn't there any way that I could
get access
like kept higher but not getting paid?
I think
or
we went through
like
all that, right? We went through all those possibilities last time, like
right.
for
yeah.
the in the beginning of this semester, and we figured out it's not possible. I don't know if anything has changed, Dean.
Yeah, so let me email that in the background, but yeah, let's assume that anyways, any money or any type of work allocation wouldn't have to be done, and I'll re-email and see, because the thing is too, it just occurs to me that, in fact, so when, I know there was some initial complication, but in fact, when you were on leave of absence, you in fact did have access, right, Ricardo?
No, I didn't have access to the VPN.
But I think you did. I mean, in the sense that you said something, but I think it was something else that happened, right? I mean, because from what I understand, your VPN account was not deactivated or even suspended.
I don't know. I'm not sure because...
I mean, you told me yourself, right, that you were getting email.
No.
Or somehow you should get an email, I thought, no.
No, I couldn't access the email or the eTotals. I remember that I had that problem and I had to...
Vasily, do you remember that? I remember you guys got together and worked something out, but I don't remember what it was.
I think in the end, Ricardo somehow fixed the issue that he had, and I didn't know if it was related to the fact that he was in the leave of absence officially or there was some other issue that I don't know.
I see. Because it was about a month there then. So you're saying for the entire month you didn't have access?
Yes.
Well, anyways, I think the way that might be able to work is, I flex the system by saying he's on a leave of absence, and then you have to give an end of date. But then at the end of date, you know, we can choose what to do at that date, right? So I could say till May. Just occurred to me, yeah, I could say till May, and then in May they'll say, okay, what's he doing? And then I'll say, oh, well, you know, then we can decide then, right?
And are you saying that Ricardo would have access while he's on leave of absence?
According to the documents, he should.
Okay,
they get to keep the laptop. My understanding is that the email account, the VPN account, and the laptop all stay active. So those three things.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, exactly. So
So let me look into that, actually. But anyways, yeah, we'll just inquire. Because who knows? There might have been sometimes they shut things and they're supposed to, or maybe there's some kind of weird exception here where they did shut down the VPN. So let me look into that.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right. So I think, though, that we might be able to work around it anyways. I don't know. Vasily is going to talk a little bit about the other project then.
Right. So basically, when we realized that there might be a possibility that Ricardo might lose access to the machine, there are two possible options, right, how we continue, the current line of research. Like one thing, we can try to get the GPFS binaries for you guys. You can deploy them locally. I will run experiments on the machines that I have. Ricardo will also be able to run or at least develop a code that collects the data on his machine, on the machines that you guys have. And also the analysis of the data, the writing can, of course, be done without having access to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one option. Now, another option that we thought about is kind of in the light of the idea that we discussed last time, that submission to the host storage. So it looks like, everybody likes the idea that on the way we'll submit this small paper. And that work does not actually require any access, to IBM machines, because we'll have to run the experiments on a regular Linux file system, single node and everything. So initially they thought, we'll run it on IBM machines and maybe I'll be doing some of these experiments. But then again, if Ricardo loses access to the machines, it might make sense to actually change the plan, and he will be more work on
this local file system thing on the way, while I'll continue to look into the distributed aspects of it.
Okay.
So these are the two options that are kind of make sense. Maybe there are more. What do you guys think about it?
I think the third option is what we spoke about earlier, that Ricardo will continue to have access, and then, you know, we can continue the current strategy that we are adopting right now.
Right. Yeah, so if Ricardo has access to the machines, there is no issue at all, and we can, you know, continue both lines in parallel together, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't know that the LiveUp options will give him access, so if Dean is right and he'll be able to get that, that will be perfect.
Right. And if not, then... Yeah, I guess then Ricardo would have to do things locally, and the latter suggestion where he works on the hot storage paper sounds reasonable, whereas the other paper is, you know, the work for the other paper is mostly done at IBM.
What do you think about that strategy in general? I mean, even if Ricardo did have access, because he could always use, if he did have access, he could always use our machines versus his machines or whatever.
Mm.
But in terms of working on the, you know, simply, basically, let's say, starting off with getting all the different experiments that we need for trying the different file systems with the different latencies and the different, you know, parameters.
Yeah, I think that, the way I understand the hot storage paper is that it would require kernel programming to set up DM delay, to expose latency that are sub millisecond, right? And then you go ahead and set up different file systems and benchmarks and report performance. Is that a reasonable characterization of the hot storage paper?
Right.
You have something else in mind?
Yeah, so that's a good characterization with one correction. So I have implemented the sub-millisecond latencies in DM delay already.
Okay.
I'll actually show you some results today. There are some interesting things there, but in general, I have the code that works.
Okay.
So that part kind of, is not necessary to do. There might be small modifications that still need to be added,
mm-hmm.
And we can discuss it, but at least we can get small latencies for 1 millisecond already now.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. So what is the resolution? I'm curious.
All right, let me then go into the... I shared the screen in the teleconference room.
We see it.
You guys see it? Okay, perfect. So what I'll do, I run some experiments. So first I set the DM delay, the new version, new DM delay, the latency I set it to, the delay I set to 200 microseconds. So now the input parameter is not milliseconds, but microseconds. And first I started with kind of larger latencies that are, we even right now can actually play with. So this is the result. You guys can see them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here is the, the similar graph I showed before for the SSD thing. But, so we have on this axis, we have higher size. On this axis, we have, you probably don't see it. 1 second, let me add the pointer. But can you see the pointer, the mouse pointer? It's
yeah.
A little bit small, but okay. Cool.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, great, great. So on this axis, you have the number of threads running from 1 to 16. Every time I just multiply it by 2, not to try every single combination. And then we have the IO size from 5.2 bytes to 16 megabytes. And for every pair, the corresponding bar shows the latency on the Z-axis here. The table in the bottom shows the same data, but in the tabular format. So you can see that, again, looking kind of at the table, that for 5.2 bytes, for 4 kilobytes, for 32 kilobytes, the match is perfect. So we have 2,000 microseconds of latency. Right.
Hmm.
So that's
How's
so
the DM
with delay set back there?
So this is the new DM delay with delay set to 2,000 microseconds or 2 milliseconds, and it's backed by the ROM disk.
And this is insensitive to the I/O size, right?
I/O size is on the... So yes, it's insensitive. The algorithm is as it was before, insensitive to the I/O size.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
However, you know, it's insensitive in the code, but on the graph and the results, when we pass to 256 kilobytes, for example, as you can see, first of all, we see some deviation that appears from, you know, 2.1 instead of 2 milliseconds, and when we get 64 threads, you know, it's getting significantly higher, 4.8.
So I'm confused here, Vasily, sorry, forgive me. So you're saying it's 2 milliseconds?
Yeah.
But with using the new code, so you're just validating that for the same, because you could do 2 milliseconds before, so just...
Yeah, that's correct.
You're just validating. Okay, I gotcha.
So I started at 2 milliseconds, 1 millisecond, 500 microseconds, 100, and 10. So I'll show you the results for smaller ones. So I don't know if we would observe these in the regular GM delay. I suspect that the answer is, you know, yes. So we will see that actually the delay for larger requests, so if you, especially if you look, for example, at 60 megabyte size, even for a single thread, the delay is actually about 9 milliseconds instead of 2 milliseconds. So why does it happen? I don't know the answer right now. I have a theory, though. Device mapper layer actually, so when you submit 16 megabyte request, this is at the kind of file system level. We open dev as the A, let's say, and submit 16 megabyte read or write to it. However, the block layer in Linux does not support 16 megabyte request, and it actually splits it in the maximum size, which is, I believe, is 2 megabytes. Oh, sorry, 2 megabytes, 1 megabyte. At least it used to be. We'll have to check what's the specific size for this kernel. So, and in this case, instead of 16 megabytes, we will have 16 requests. And each of these requests will be delayed by 2 milliseconds, right?
But in parallel.
Yeah, so they should run in parallel, exactly. So that's the question, why we still see it here, yeah.
Well, if they're running sequentially, we should see 32 milliseconds. So they're not running sequentially. Following up on this theory. So there's something that's going on.
But in my theory, that the maximum request size is kind of a variable. I did not verify what it is actually in the kernel that we are using, because it's kind of changing. That's how something has to be verified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just need to compare it. This is a DM0.
RAM disk.
Oh, RAM disk. I was going to say, yeah, because you just need to compare it, I guess, to the delay zero RAM disk.
Mm.
Right. I mean, compare it to what is the latency? Because we're adding 2 milliseconds latency here, so you just want to know what was the original one. And but although seems to vary a little bit, but if we knew the difference, then that would help, I guess.
Right. I think in general there is a clear picture that, you know, the more threads you have, so when we pass 32 kilobytes, for example, right, we start to see these deviations. And especially it becomes large when we use, you know, many threads and large I/O sizes. And that trend needs to be explained. I look into it, and, you know, I think, you know, I'll get an answer just by looking at some statistics and things like that. But in general, at least this shows that for, you know, smaller requests, things work well. Right?
I mean, if you just compare this versus plain, the exact same test with plain RAM disk, you know, if it looks similar, then that's the answer right there, right? Wouldn't it? Then that would be sufficient to say, well, this is the characteristic of the underlying device.
Yeah, I don't think that will be the case, but yeah, I can definitely run an experiment against the RAM disk, yeah.
Well, I guess RAM disk and then versus DM delay with zero delay.
Yeah.
As well, yeah. Hopefully one of those two matches the
Vasily, is this a read or write workload? And is there a difference?
This is right. This is right. I can show you the read as well. So that's a good point, actually. So let me show you. Let me pull the graph for read.
So is there any serialization in the clock, the new clock, or the new timer? Sorry, that's what I meant to use.
None of that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, so this is the graph on the left. On the left is the graph for the read, the same one, but for the read.
Mm-hmm.
So the right one is for write, the left one is for read. And we see kind of similar shapes at least.
Yeah, but the latencies are different.
Yeah, the numbers are different. Reads are faster. You know, with smaller requests, they show small latencies.
Hmm. Okay.
And is this GPFS or?
No, this is just block level.
Report. Okay. Just block level. Yeah.
So I guess the conclusion. I just got this result, and the conclusion is that we, you know, it seems to work. Again, I'll show you the results for smaller delays, of course. But we observe some deviation for high thread number, for the high number of threads and high request sizes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, it might be kind of, the exact number that we see might be a combination of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that the requests are split, but then executed in parallel, but then maybe let's say the queue after splitting the request in a big request and smaller request, plus multiple threads, you have a lot of these smaller requests in the queue, and now you don't have things running in parallel, actually. So that will require a little bit more looking into it.
Right. I mean, Linux, the block-level I/O scheduler has a limit on how many requests there can be at any given time in the queue.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's basically per device properly the depth of the queue.
Mm-hmm.
For DM, for device mapper targets, they use no op scheduler, so we should not see any sophisticated scheduling there. Still, back merges, and front merges can potentially happen. But
what I'm talking about is the limit on the queue, the number of requests in the queue itself.
Usually, if you have a regular physical device, it's determined by the driver. So it reports to the block layer the maximum queue length it supports.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, there's a Linux queue as well.
That's typically in the tens, hundreds, or thousands?
No.
Well, for modern disk drives, it can be up to 256 and maybe even higher. Like TCQ and CQ can be as high as several hundred.
Yeah, but DM delay, I don't know if it would support the device level queuing. It all depends on the device driver. My guess would be probably no. But then the I/O scheduler queue itself would have a limit, and I think that's 32. And I have 32 requests in the I/O scheduler queue in Linux. You can change that if you want to. But I think the default is 32.
Right, so I was going to say that 16 line, right? That's, if it's 1 megabyte request, then it's 16 times 16, 256.
Yeah, but at any given time, you would have only spots for 32 of them, and then the rest of the I/O requests have to block the process, and the process cannot make, you know, issue all those requests.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time.
So if it's tunable, then we might be able to tune it and then just have all these numbers go away.
Possible. Yeah. I mean, but I don't know if that's the only reason for why we see these numbers.
Yeah.
The other thing which I was wondering is, well, memory copying latency shouldn't be very high, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that it should be, pay a lot of overhead here. Like, for example, between 32 and 256 kilobytes for one thread for, let's say, write, we see 100 microsecond difference right here, right?
Yeah, so there's a, you know, at least there's something else besides the memory copying, even if memory copying is a factor, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sure. Okay.
Let me look at it. I kind of try put down all of the theories that you guys suggested. I'll keep them in mind, and we'll figure it out. All right. So now I'm gonna show. So I'm not gonna show you the results for 1 millisecond, at least now. If you will want, I can show you later. But I'll show you immediately the results for 500 microseconds.
Okay.
Okay, so this is again random write in a microsecond. Let me put random write in microsecond. Yeah. All right. So what we see here, kind of similar picture again, the numbers, they differ. But so in this experiment, the delay was set to 500 microseconds. And you can see that for, let's say, one thread and 512 bytes, the latency is actually 510 microseconds. So there is an error, so to say, but it is not significant, and we can probably calibrate for it. Again, as we increase the size of the request from already to 256, again, after 32, we kind of start to see these big differences. We see a much more significant deviation from the numbers that we want.
Yeah. Yeah, so... And in this case, there is a difference between reads and writes again, right?
Yeah.
Reads
are
lower than writes.
I mean, it's almost the same number, meaning to me that, yeah, there's some other bottleneck there that is a constant. Quick question in the delay code. So if you put a delay to zero, does it still do call the delay code, or does it have a special check to skip it?
Well, no, delay code, some part of it is called, but for example, timer is not used at all in this case.
Right, okay.
So they do have a check early that, okay, delay zero, just, kind of issue the request immediately, but part of the DM delay code still needs to be excused. That's
right.
That check.
Yeah, just checking.
Okay, so if you go down to 100 microseconds, is it still faithful for, 32 kilobytes and less?
Yeah, let me now plot the results for 100 microseconds.
Wow.
So yeah, what we see here, we see 100 approximately. We see higher overhead at 32, kind of relative overhead, about 20 microseconds on top of that for one thread. And again, as we increase the number of threads, the problem exacerbates, so to say.
Yeah, but this is
pretty back to the same numbers again up at the top. So what is this one again? One. This is 1 microsecond?
No, that is 110 microseconds.
Okay.
110.
And you put it to 100?
And I put it to 100, correct.
At 16 megabytes, is it the same as 500 microseconds? No, this is writes. So I think the 500 microseconds, the 16 megabyte number was higher for writes, I think.
these are the results for write.
Yeah, I'm comparing it with 500 microsecond latency delay.
Okay.
To see if... And I think they're different. Significantly different.
Yeah, it seems that that number is, you know, kind of changes depending on the
actual latency.
Specified delay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, delay. Yeah.
I also thought that maybe there is, you know, kind of a top value that is reached and will always be the same. But it seems that it's actually, you know, kind of decreasing.
Mm. Yeah, but this is, I mean, at least until 32 kilobytes, you're doing pretty okay. And one of the, you know, one of the arguments I see here is that when you have really fast devices, there is very little motivation to do large IOs. I mean, the whole point of large IOs was that you want to amortize the latency cost. And for really fast devices, I don't see that being important anymore. So... I mean, it doesn't... Could you close that door, please? Thanks. That's why I'm just wondering if we really need to worry too much about large IOs here and not being able to configure the latencies right.
Right. I mean, one thing that we haven't decided on the workload yet for this smaller sub-project. If they use big IOs, right, then that might be something that we need to do. If they use smaller IOs, we might not need to worry about it, as you say. Also, we got to run the workloads at a file system level, and then the file system is going to buffer a lot of writes, and then it's going to do some read ahead, kind of increasing the size of the IO potentially. So again, it looks like the perfect scenario would be if we actually monitor while running the experiment with the file systems, we monitor the latency of every request and kind of collect the statistics about it. And if we see that for most of the requests or for all of the requests, the latency was within something that we wanted, the latency of that lower level request, not the file system, but the, you know, the request that file system submits to the blockchain. If that latency remains within the, you know, reasonable range that we think is the right one, then we can trust the result.
Mm-hmm. Don't think I quite understand what you're saying there. So you're saying... See, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
So, yeah, let me rephrase it. So let's say we run some file-level workloads, I don't know, SpecSFS, FileBench, and then the file system, let's say XT3, it will submit requests to the block layer, to DM delay in this case. So if we monitor the latency of every request that was submitted to the file system, that is exactly the latency. It should match the latency of the DM delay that we specified, roughly. So if we monitor during the experiment these latencies and ensure that they're, you know, they match what is specified in the DM delay, we can trust the experiment. Otherwise, you know, we might be, you know, doing the wrong conclusions.
Mm. I see. So but there's more stuff going on below the file system, right? And what we've been talking about so far in terms of explaining this additional latency is all to do with below the file system, like the IO scheduler and parallel execution and breaking up of IOs and stuff like that.
So in this experiment, we try to eliminate as much as possible of the file system. We still, the benchmark runs in the user space.
Mm-hmm.
So we still need to open the, you know, the dev SDA file. We open it with ODirect, so page cache is skipped, and all of that things are skipped. But still, a little bit of that upper layer is executed, but probably a small amount, and it should not matter.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so, I mean, what happens at 10 microseconds? Did you do the 10 microsecond one or 25 or something like that?
Yeah, so I didn't I don't have the numbers right now.
Okay.
The experiment is basically still running, but I'll take a look at it as soon as I'll get some.
So 100 microseconds is the smallest latency for which you have numbers.
Exactly.
Okay.
And in theory, this can do now do 1 microsecond, or I can't remember.
Well, in theory, the API that high-resolution timers provide is a nanosecond, right?
Yeah.
In reality, of course, the accuracy depends in some way on the other activities in the system, right? So if you overload the system, even if the timer goes on properly, your code might not be executed in time. And the smaller latencies, the smaller delays that you specify, the more relatively that becomes a problem. Let's say you set 1 microsecond, but it took 1 more microsecond to get your code to start executing because something else was executing, 2 times difference. Theoretically, I can specify 1 microsecond, and that's definitely something that should be tried. Yeah.
With I'm curious too with DM0 to see if if we start hitting the difference right between DM0 and RAMDisk.
Well, for this experiment right now, for this specific project, I don't think we will use DM0 at all. So it's not as important.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean for the paper?
Right.
Right, yeah, because you can't split up the metadata anyways, you're saying.
Yes. All right, so this is the numbers that I have so far, but of course, I'll look a little bit more on them and see why we have these things, and then we can decide. So maybe it's something that is easy to fix, maybe it's something that is unfixable, and then we'll have to think about the workaround. But so far, that's what I have.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, it sounds good. I mean, we're around the right.
Yeah, I think the other detail here, which I was just thinking about, but I don't have any good suggestions as to how we can deal with it, is that, I mean, most of these latencies that we are talking about are going to be dependent on I/O size, right? I mean, even for disk drives, it's like that. You're doing a 16 megabyte read from a disk drive, it's not going to be the same as a 500, and the latency is going to be significantly different than a 512 byte read. And maybe some of it is being reflected in this measurements as well. And the additional overheads that are involved when you're transferring large amounts of data, much larger amount of data.
Especially when we're still working through the block layer, right? Like you said that, there would be, maybe that's another interesting result is that, I could say that there are some common delays across all the file systems, that since they're all still working through the file system layer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, block layer.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I do agree about that. We had similar discussion last time, right? Or, the time before the last.
Yeah.
And I ran some more experiments with the specific SSDs. So just wanted to kind of compare that profile that I showed for you for, the kind of ideal DM delay device. And here are the results for the SSD, SATA SSD that we have.
Hmm.
This is a microsecond for the right. I showed some of these numbers, but I actually ran the experiments because I decided that. So in that experiment, I didn't do any overwrites of the SSD, and here I actually, before every single run of the experiments, the SSD was overwritten several times.
Hmm.
So you can see how the latency of the real SSD actually changes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This will identical.
Yeah, the shape seems similar on the graph, but the numbers are actually, if you can see, the numbers are much higher than something that I would expect, let's say, from the SSD disk. So you can see here that the write of, like, let's say we use one thread and we do a write 4 kilobytes, 1.1 milliseconds.
Hmm.
Right? So it's pretty high, and you know, you have, when you use the 8 threads, it looks like the parallelism is still used for 4 kilobytes, but then after 16 threads, it's probably the parallelism already does not in play, and the request is just queued.
Well, the supposedly read some things about how, you know, the thread count causes, you know, collisions among the threads if since the IOs are small enough in the same, what are they called?
30K
chunk kind of thing.
Are you talking about that FTL layer or somewhere else?
Yeah, down in the SSD. For one, that they're interfering possibly with the, when you get that number of threads churning out that much data, it could be interfering with the garbage collector.
Yes.
Yeah. But also interfering with each other with respect to if their data is munged into the same
die and the same chip, basically. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the copy on write then has to copy on write. So they have to fight for copy on write, if you know what I'm saying, of the same chunk.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
These are random writes.
What, sorry?
These are random writes, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the SSD is going to throw them all into a common set of chunks, right? Isn't it? The FTL layer.
You mean it would log them in the same block?
Yeah.
And then merge them later, garbage collect and merge them later?
Well, then merge them later, but also where, so let's say 32K, I can't remember what they call it.
Well, this is the problem, is that this is like the secret sauce of the SSD. We don't know how many logs they keep internally, and it's really difficult to reverse engineer these things.
But I guess I was just trying to say that I read something about where they have a high parallelism, but if there's collision in terms of the data being munged into same. So there was a paper where they divided the data into different sections of the SSD, and then they could provide better isolation between workloads.
I mean, SSDs are like crazy, right? Because every SSD is potentially different, and they're all optimizing in a slightly different way. So it's hard to really know what's going on inside that causes these performance numbers.
Yeah, I think that in general, though, it would be, I'm going to say it's relatively fair to say that the SSDs are not as parallel as, like, RAM disk. In a general concept, because of the interference of both, possibly across multiple threads in the logging type FTL layer, as well as the garbage collector.
Yeah, I mean, there's a complicated piece of software that's sitting between the CPU issuing the I request and the die that's servicing it, which doesn't exist for RAM disk.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So the delay there, is there another zero on that? Because I noticed that in the right one, the pink goes up past 5, but is that an... That's another order of magnitude.
Yeah, that
one.
Is. Yeah, it's another order of magnitude. Yes.
Yeah. So, and yeah, this is a real SSD, and that's exactly what, Roger, you were talking about, that in general, the latency depends a lot on the I/O size, right? So what we see here, it does depend. And, our decision earlier was that let's ignore it because, in our experiment, let's ignore it because we don't really, this is not the point of the paper, it's hard to do, and so on and so forth, but it is what we can explain it. So maybe in this specific sub-project, we might want to deviate from this decision.
I see where you're going with that, but I think that's the two parameters make it complicated, right? And because it's when you're doing the DM delay implementation, I don't know if you have thread level information to know how many threads there are. But you're saying it's not about the threads, about outstanding requests.
Exactly, in-flight requests.
In-flight
requests. We know how many in-flight requests we have, and we do base computation on that.
Right. But I think that the in-flight requests can be ignored, right? What I'm saying is that the device level latency only depends on, should only depend on the current request as opposed to how many requests are in the queue or the current request being serviced.
So we are trying to kind of emulate the hardware queue, like the one that SSD will have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the request time will actually depend for SSD on that on the number of requests in that hardware queue. So let's say you have the level of parallelism SSD is 16. You can execute 16 requests in parallel.
Yeah.
Then even if you have 8 or 16 requests, the latency will remain the same for the same IO size because you can do all of them in parallel and ignore the overhead. But then as soon as you go above 16, you have 17. For one request, you'll have to wait till the previous request is over.
Yeah, I see. Yes. Yeah, that makes
sense.
That
would be kind of a simple model, but instead of, using that kind of model, we can use the histograms that are collected, empirically on different SSDs. So this is one SSD, for example, which we call SATA, and its performance is pretty low for write, as you can see on the write graph here. And I talked to people who used it, they said that IBM specifically produces these SSDs for people that want to have sustained guaranteed throughput for writes on SSD. So it is not very high, but this is what you get when you're constantly hitting the SSD with writes.
I see.
And as I said, in this experiment, I actually did two overwrites, two complete overwrites before every experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it still was, the throughput was this without kind of changing. So
mm-hmm.
it means that there is all this plethora of different SSDs. Somebody decides to go for stability, somebody else goes for initial performance. And, we can say that we play with this different statistical distribution.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm.
But alternatively, and that might be the good kind of initial experiment, is to use the just fixed latency. And then these graphs, what's important to notice here is the minimal latency that we see. It is 120 microseconds, or actually 110 microseconds for writes. And 150 for the read.
Yeah, and that's not easy either because, we saw that the latencies actually change when you increase the IO size and so on. Although you emulate 100 microseconds, it actually is something else altogether.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a lot more than, 100 microseconds, like an order of magnitude more than 100 microseconds. And it's hard to compensate for something that's 10 times more than what you're targeting.
Right.
That's the challenge, I think.
All right. I got another meeting at noon. So what's the... Vasily, what should we target as the plan for next week then? Because if we're going to move forward on this paper, I guess the other question was around targeting hot storage versus maybe even a short paper at ATC you had brought up.
Yes, right. So let's kind of continue a little bit of this and decide on the exact things to do in the coming weeks. So right now on the screen, you should see the PDF
it's nice.
So yeah, basically the beginning point is when the you need to submit the paper or an abstract, and the end point is when you get the notification. So you can see, you know, to which conferences you can submit simultaneously, not simultaneously, but one after another, and then you have a conflict. So QuadAS is in January 09, but my personal opinion is that this paper would not fit well to QuadAS. It's a little bit too specific to storage. Now, we have ADC on February 3rd, and they accept both short and long papers. And we should be able to, if we decide to do it, we should be able to submit a short paper to ADC if we want to. And
yeah.
To fill it in. It's a good candidate. Then the next, we have CStore, and then we have Hot Storage, also potential candidate.
No.
Hot Storage, that's what we initially thought.
I think if we do ATC, we can't do Hot Storage, CStore, SOSP, and MSST.
Right, right. So these are the things that we'll have to decide. QuadAS, CStore, Hot Storage. So with QuadAS, we ignore. So CStore, Hot Storage, or ATC, we'll have to decide, or even MSST.
So we get to pick only one of the remaining. If we,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't pick Hot OS,
yes,
that's what it seems like.
So maximum two.
At most, you can do two, and if you want to do two, you have to do Hot OS.
Yeah. Right, and then after that, then you can only do Hot Storage, SOSP, or MSST.
Or ATC. Oh, yeah, well,
no,
you can't do ATC
no.
If you do Hot OS, and I don't think this
yeah.
is, I agree with Vasily that this is not a right fit for Hot OS.
Yeah,
so you had to pick
my
one.
My only worry, I think, with ATC was that you know, it's relatively short from now, so we really have to, I think, sprint to some degree and get the results. So, you know, since we don't even know what the results are going to look like, we'd have to get them going in the next this month, I guess, to start analyzing. I would think, anyways.
Yeah, that's ATC sounds a little bit too tight.
So maybe the hot storage might be the better target, and then
yeah,
you know, the thing is too is MSST. I don't remember if they have short papers, but if they do, it's not really prestigious. So
yeah, I think hot storage is a more visible venue than MSST, but
yeah.
Or it's also more competitive, and I mean, we need to have. Like a story that's somehow unique, and that's what we need for hot storage.
You know, though, I mean, the year Vasily and I had a paper there. Time goes by, Vasily. This was last year, right? So 2013.
Yeah.
And I remember that year. Hot storage actually had a higher acceptance rate than CStore, interestingly, or about the same anyways, similar. So now, of course, the quality is probably different between what was submitted, but at the same time...
Well,
you know,
CStore is a much broader venue than hot storage, I think. I mean, it's all of systems, right?
No, it's a storage conference.
Oh.
CStore is the Israel one.
Yeah, I know, but
yeah.
I always
yeah.
thought it was like broad OS menu. No, I see, I guess I'm wrong. Okay. Yeah, well, we need to think about where to send this thing if we do, and then there are two potential papers, so we need to figure out a plan for each of them.
So, if we did switch to... I got to run, unfortunately. I'm 2 minutes late already. But if we did switch to this model, then I guess it where Ricardo ran experiments for this upcoming paper, and then Vasily would run the GPFS side experiments internally to GPFS. We'd have to shift there, and then hopefully we could that would enable. Ricardo to make progress relatively simply on his side.
Yeah. I, I think that's a good plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want to send out an email on that, Vasily, or you guys can continue anyways, and maybe send out an email on the thoughts on how to proceed, and then making sure, and then we can go back and forth on how, like, I don't know, how many nodes are we going to need, what type of machines are we going to need, and things like this, and then, you know, for Ricardo to sort of get going on this, the other side. But hopefully you can finish off the other experiments, because I'd still like to see those. But then once we have those, then you can move forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing would be if Ricardo finishes his current experiment that, you know, it seems that it's almost working, but there are some small problems, because it will be kind of a good end to pass it to me, and I can start from there. And yeah, then after that, we definitely need to plan, you know, exact things to do. And let me send an email with kind of initial thoughts, and then we will go from there.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm gonna run. I'll talk to you guys. Well, I'll see you this week.
On Friday, yes. I'll see you.
Okay.
See you, Dean.
Bye.
All right.
Dean Hildebrand
has left the conference.
All right, Vasily. So I guess we are done as well, right?
Right. So I just wanted to ask Ricardo what does he feel about all that. He was kind of silent all this time.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I mean, I don't know. So February seems kind of like short, I mean, my opinion, but I'm not too experienced about this, and I don't know how much will it take to make a short paper. So I never written one so far. So
I think it would be important for us to have a solid paper before we pick a venue. We need to have like a really good sense for what goes into the paper before we decide to pick a venue. I think it's too early right now to pick a venue. But it's good to have the venues in mind and the deadlines in mind to plan our work. I think that's good. And you may be very well right that February is too early.
Yeah. February, so one thing, that one concern that Dean also said, if we, you know, even want to try to get into that February, it's early February deadline.
Yeah.
We will need to work on it, and, you know, if Ricardo decides to lead it, then when he has to work mostly, you know, on this thing all the time. So that's an end of his availability. And then with hot storage, there's a little bit more window, but not that much also, just one extra month.
Yeah.
But still, there is a lot of, like, the work, it's good. We can decide on a specific menu maybe a little bit later, but in both of them, the work needs to be kind of very intensive from now on, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. So, sorry, go ahead.
So, I just wanted also to say that depending on where we decide to submit ADT on hot storage, we'll have to spin the paper slightly differently.
Oh, yeah.
Hot storage will say that, okay, this is where it's going, so we propose you know, this point at which you have to switch to these new file systems and the old ones do not work anymore, we will specify the latency. And then for ADC, ADC and the papers are more like practical, so people want to get something, it's a technical conference, so they want a little bit like kind of practical lesson, what should they do now and things like that in their coming future. So we'll have to say, well, they're giving you the recipe, I guess, to how do you adjust your infrastructure for SSD, some things like that.
I understand. Yes, I agree. ATC probably requires a little bit more, maybe a different kind of story than hot storage. We need to think about that. I agree.
Yeah. Let me summarize all what we've discussed in the email then, and next time we'll probably have a better idea on the plan. Ricardo, if you want to meet with me anytime, just ping me in the same time then, okay?
Yeah, I'm running through the experiments right now. I'm trying to see if something shows up. So, but I would like to talk to you something about the plans, and maybe if I have some results, maybe we can plan when to discuss them and, you know, kind of like make up for the time that I haven't been able to make much progress.
Cool. All right. So just, you know, send me an email or ping me in the same time, whatever, you know, I should be available most of the time this week.
Okay, awesome.
Right? Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
So, okay, so...
So, I... in.
So, my worry about this is I cannot work... I could work full-time on the project, but I...
No, you can't work full-time on the project.
But I want to do the other project.
And I think they understand that. There's no problem.
Okay.
I don't think they expect you to work full-time on this.
Okay.
Or any time on this, given that they won't be paying you.
Right.
Right? But, I mean, regardless of whether they pay you or not, I think... We should probably push this a little further to determine where it's going and then make a call as to how much your involvement should be.
Okay.
I want to make sure that you get to publish good stuff. And right now, I think your biggest push should be on the caching work.
Yes. I mean, I agree the same. I think it's...
And I mean, to be frank, I feel like it's slow. It's a little slow and I don't know if you feel the same way, but the writing is the main thing. I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter how many different experiments you do. You will soon realize that when you start writing stuff, many of the things that you did, you will realize are not really fitting into the story.
Right.
And you only get to know that when you start writing.
Okay.
So it's really important to start writing earlier than later.
Okay. No, I'll focus on that, and I'll make sure I have...
Yeah.
Stuff to work on and
yeah, and think about story. Really, paper writing is all about storytelling.
Okay.
It's like you're writing a small mini storybook. Think of it that way. Except that it's a technical storybook.
Okay. I'll focus on that. I know that but I just wanted to get some kind of results first and make sure that what I was doing.
I think you have enough now.
Yes. So I had, now that we have this.
Yeah.
You know. Kind of like,
yeah, work on the cost model really quickly. You can get something very quickly. You already have all the data.
Yeah.
You just generate new data with cost. And that should be like that.
Yeah.
Right? Once you have a
cost because model, I got all the metrics.
Yeah. Right. You have everything. Now, once you decide on a model, just fit it in, look at the new plot, make sure that it's fine.
Okay.
You know, as expected, that it falls into the storyline that you're trying to sell.
Okay.
And just focus on the writing.
Okay, I'm going to focus on the writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have lots of material. Listen to the audio of your motivation or whatever.
No, I have to because there's a bunch of stuff that we talked about that should be included. And,
Better not to delay it too much.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the one thing that worried me. For me, it's being hard, like, kind of, like, splitting is, like, making slow progress while I would like to make a lot of progress on one thing and then, you know, like, get it done and then do it. But I know that's not going to be...
Yeah, I think all you need to be is disciplined. Eventually, you know, having just one project as the only thing for you to bank upon... For the current environment is not very smart. You need to have multiple things going because what if the one project fails?
Right.
You have nothing to show for all the time you spent. I think you need to have at least two projects going on in parallel.
Okay.
You do. Although I feel like I don't have a clear, you know, direction with the IBM thing. I have a very clear direction with the caching thing now.
Okay.
I mean, you need to have something else going on besides your primary project.
Okay.
And you need to figure out a way to do time management.
Okay.
So that you can, you know, make progress on both.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like that's what's been happening. Like, I've been making slow progress on both things. I mean, like, the 3 weeks, I feel like the month that I didn't work for the other project, I was kind of like meeting 2 times a week. Like,
yeah. When you write, one suggestion which I'll give you is don't try to write perfect in the first draft. Try to put in all your ideas first. You know, even if it's bad English, whatever. I mean, put in all the ideas. If and it doesn't have to be organized. The second phase should be flow, where you focus, again, not on the English, but on the flow of the content, that what comes where.
Okay.
And then the third pass is where you can actually care about your prose a little bit.
Okay.
But if you start worrying about the prose right from the beginning, I feel like, you'll be spending time on the wrong stuff, and then you'll lose focus on the main storyline.
Okay. So
get the content in first. Doesn't have to be.
What should it have to be there? Ideas that we need to
write. Write. You don't have to write perfectly. And the next step would be organization, and the third step would be prose.
Okay.
Hey, come on, Leo.
Hey. So, right. Yeah, I'll come back to you with all this stuff.
Okay. So how's it going with the